Expecting heavy downpours all day today.
You're a builder. You build. It's literally in your job title.
Woo! Let's hit it.
A little rain isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.
Like, I just can't fathom waiting for someone for that long and being like, oh, there's still a chance.
Yeah, you know what I mean? If I liked a girl, I would talk to her within 6 weeks.
If I liked a girl, I would respond instantly. If I could. And if I couldn't, then I would say, hey, sorry, I was busy doing
like
XYZ.
When I liked a girl and she texted me, legitimately, that would be the only thing I would think about.
It would be on site.
That's how Phoebe figured out that I liked her. I've told this story before.
Yeah.
Someone was like, man, Patrick never responds to his text. And she goes, he always texts me back.
Wait a minute.
I know it hurts. I'm sorry. All right, you came to the right place, you ding dong. It's called communication, baby.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only Catholic podcast, Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner edition. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Patrick, and if you're coming here from our last episode, which we are, I'd like to apologize for my outburst. You see, the camera was not plugged in.
You're kidding.
And so perhaps that was the cause of some of the technical issues.
It's so funny. You're the same guy every day.
As I was 8 years ago.
Yes. Getting mad about things
that are my fault.
That's a certified Patrick Nevy moment right there.
Ding. Patrick's like so mad. Oh, man.
Well, this is a show where we do dating advice because we're both very qualified, very self-aware. I'm sweating under these heat lamps because of this sweet zip up.
Yeah,
I've got on.
I was gonna ask you about that. You have heat lamps and they're covered in tissue paper.
Trash bags.
Great for diffusion. Good. That's good. Now, is that okay? Is the plastic melting?
Not yet. Let me touch.
Are they?
No, they're LEDs, so they only get a little bit hot.
Oh, so they're not heat lamps.
No, that's what they're called at Lowe's, is their heat lamps. Like, if you were to put a heat bulb in there, it would keep, like, baby chicks warm in an incubator or something. Or it would keep your garage warm if you needed it. But I've not put heat bulbs in the heat lamps. You don't have to do that. That's just what they're called. We could also call them shop lights if you would prefer.
No, we can call them whatever you want. It's 2024, but
just don't call me late for dinner.
I wonder if that's on the tier list. I saw a tier list of white people phrases.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw this.
No.
Tier list.
I think we should stop the podcast to look it up.
I have it. I can just send it to you.
Oh.
Up in the top tier is that tears it, radical, and check yourself before you riggedy wreck yourself.
That tears it.
That
what's
tears
in the bottom
it.
Tier?
Excuse me.
Oh, fair.
And what the flip?
What the flip is great. Don't. That's my culture. Flip. That's my culture, man.
Sweet giblets. Whippersnapper, picking up the phone.
What the flip is for all those kids who weren't allowed to play M-rated video games when they were kids?
Right. Well, that just happened.
Okay, that's just a millennial thing.
You and what army? And then you could say that again. That's a good one.
All right. Let's do some dating questions. I'm sure we have a backlog because we've been out. We didn't do a dating corner 2 weeks ago because we were behind. And then we didn't do one last week, obviously, because I had a baby and you had a hurricane. And
I did, which is similar to a baby.
Dude, you texted me, if I die in the hurricane, you have to name your son Milton. It was one of the funniest things you've ever said. It was so good.
If I die in this hurricane, you have to name your baby Milton.
I was laughing. I was laughing out loud. And the nurse looks at me. She's like, what's so funny? Because she's like tending to my wife whose water is breaking or whatever. And I'm like, oh, my friend just texted me this. And I told it to her. And she was like, huh, that's kind of dark, isn't it? And I was like, no, it's funny. Emma thought it was funny. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Emma. We're all good. I appreciate it. You have to name your baby Milton.
I would have. If he died, I would have done it.
It's funny to not name him Patrick. That's funny. It's funny to name him after the hurricane that killed me. Yeah.
It's like dying in a car crash, and then you name your kid like Expedition, Ford Expedition, the first.
Oh man! All right,
this is my son Nissan Altima.
This is my son Faulty Airbag. It's hyped.
This is right. My son Bayonet in World War I.
This is my son Gas Station Tuna. All right.
Nice. That is a funny name. That's a name that that's a name that a podcast that has like 100,000 followers that you've never heard of would have for their like side character that looks things up on the TV. Hey, Gas Station Tuna. You pull that up. You just be a guy in the back. All right, let's do it. Some dating questions, please.
We got dating questions. We do have a backlog of dating questions, but first and foremost, we need an update. Long time coming update from Petals in response to the 929 episode, being honest with your introversion.
Okay.
Is it possible to simply miss one's vocation? My concern after listening to this episode is that I am 24 years old and have dated before, but I currently feel like I have no desire to date. I feel sort of indifferent towards marriage at the moment as well. And I've been thinking about maybe I'm not called to it. I've also been thinking that if I am called to marriage, I will simply meet the right person and feel called to date and marry that person. But now I'm wondering if it's wrong of me not to be interested in dating or actively discern marriage. And if I kind of just need to pursue that regardless how I feel right now. Am I misinterpreting this episode? What do you think, Ethan?
I think you're misinterpreting the episode. I think this notion, someone at some point down the line started talking about how you have to feel called to do things, how the Lord is just always calling you to do things. And I think we need to dispense with that notion. I think every day there's an invitation from God to live a holy and virtuous life.
Yes.
And I think in unique and particular points in someone's life, God will invite you to take a radical step to follow him, probably multiple times, hopefully. One of those times might be to marry the person that God wants you to marry. But that's not like step one of like being called, you know. Step one of being called is like accepting the gospel and then saying, all right, I'm going to live according to the gospel and the teachings of the church every day. And recognize that the way that I can best live out the gospel is by accepting the vocation that God wants for me. That doesn't mean you have to like figure it out today. It just means that you have to pray and trust and like let God dictate the events of your life and then accept them, you know? Like, and this is in tension with the thing we talked about the other day, which is agency, right? So it's, if you feel, you got to let your desires lead you to an extent too. Because if you don't feel like you dating, if you don't want to date, well then don't. Is there something that you do want to do? Do that instead. God works through your desires, not through like vague callings that you don't actually want. Yeah. You know? Like it's weird. It's very rare that God will call you to do something that you're like absolutely don't want to do. But in my experience, he makes it very clear that it is a call and you need to conquer your like desire. Most of the time, he's like, he gives you the desire for the thing so that you're more likely to do it because it's easier for everyone that way.
Yeah, that's why I was talking to a friend who was like, I kind of want to be a sponsor for, I want to be a sponsor for someone at the Easter Vigil, but like, I don't know if I'm doing it for like selfish reasons. Like, do I want to do it just so that I can be front and center? And I was like, hey, do you want me to answer that question really easily for you? And he's like, yeah. I was like, you are being selfish. A little bit, probably. But that doesn't mean it's not also God's will. You know?
Yeah, it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it.
You're probably, if you're waiting for your intentions to be completely pure, or if you're waiting for your desires to be completely aligned with God, you're going to be waiting for a long time. And so, like, you don't feel called to marriage right now. You don't feel like dating right now. All right, cool. But am I supposed to be? Maybe. I don't know. But you don't feel like it, so don't do it. It would be disingenuous for you to try and date when you don't feel like dating. You're going to have a hard time.
Yeah. I agree. I think just calling those things out, you are being selfish. Just admit that. Like, I am a selfish person. Okay. Now I can start working on that. Now I can start acting like less of a selfish person day by day.
We do this thing. We do this thing with our desires and our sinfulness where we're like, we act either because we are acting or because we're just legitimately unaware.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't believe I did something like that. Or like, I can't believe I'm so selfish. Like, come on. You should know better. You should know yourself. You should know that you're a little selfish, but it's okay. God still loves you. He fills up all those cracks. And like, I think another paradigm shift with the marriage thing is like, again, I'm not feeling called to date right now. Yes, that's because when you are called to date, you are called to date a person, and the discernment is a person. You can't discern marriage in the abstract. You can't discern a vocation in the abstract, actually, I will say. Mm-hmm. You can't discern a state of life because you're kind of, it's not something that's right in front of you.
Yeah.
You know,
God
doesn't
call you to be a religious person generally, and then you decide, oh, I think I'll be a Benedictine. It's like, he will call you to a particular order and a particular community because that's the one for you, not religious life generally. Same with marriage. He doesn't say like, oh, you're going to be married.
It's a little trickier.
And you just feel warm and fuzzy about everyone about the opposite sex. And you're like, oh, yes, I am meant to be married. It's like, well,
it's a little trickier with religious life and with the priesthood, because both of those instances, you're discerning like Christ, the person of Christ in a particular way. And so, you know, it's like people will be called to like celibacy in general. That's a little different. People will feel a call to celibacy in general, but you might also feel a call to marriage in general. And that is called nature.
Yeah. That just is being a human.
I talked to a guy who was like, I discerned the priesthood, but I liked the girls too much. And I was like, oh, really? That's good, actually. I'm glad that you were sexually attracted to women as a 20-year-old man. That's probably a good sign.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're not called to the priesthood because you like the girls too much.
My body does what it was designed to do.
I must not be called to the priesthood.
I know. There must be something wrong. It's like, come on, dude.
Come on. But yes, no, you're called to, you are called to marriage because you have a body and you're a human being, and the human body was made for marriage.
Some would say that marriage isn't even a vocation.
Some would. I don't necessarily agree, but I think it's splitting hairs. I think it is too.
I think it's in one sense, it's so ordinary because so many people do it that it's like, it's not something. Marriage, this I actually do agree with. Whether or not marriage is a vocation is splitting hairs, but I do agree with this. Marriage is not something you discern. It's the default thing that you do. You don't pick it. It just is the thing that you do. Like, I don't discern. Yeah. I didn't discern whether or not I was going to wear clothes today. I just wore clothes because that's what you do every day, you know? Yeah. So it's not, you have to discern something outside of the ordinary in order for it to be discernment. So I don't know if that helps at all.
You don't discern like, getting a job.
Right.
You discern which job.
You don't discern eating food.
Yeah.
You don't like you don't discern breathing or drinking water or going to the bathroom. You do these things because you have to. Marriage is one of those things.
I think work is actually a really great analogy for marriage because that's another thing that people always say is a vocation but isn't really. You know, it's like, oh, it's my vocation.
My tertiary vocation.
It's something that you, it's my first vocation is holiness. My second vocation is my wife. My third vocation is making podcasts.
My my fourth vocation is putting my foot in your ass, brother.
That's actually my primary vocation. My anyway, I
that I can imagine. Can you imagine that 70s show? Eric comes home. He's like, "Dad, I'm converting to Catholicism. My primary vocation is holiness." And Red Foreman goes, "My primary vocation is putting my foot in your ass." It's just that would be a very funny arc if Eric converted to Catholicism. It'd be, and then Fez is confused and tries to do it too, but meets a priest that's homosexual. It just would be a very, I could just see the episode happening. I could just see it. Kelso tries to go to mass, gets confused by the Latin. It's just great. It could be, it would be great. Not important. Continue with what you were saying.
Moving on. Yes. It's, I think the job is a good, cause it's like, I have to discern whether I'm going to like what I'm going to do for my work and you know, when I'm going to start working and like what it's going to be. And you know, some people start earlier, some people start their careers later, but it's like, the end of the day, if you want to be an adult functioning in society, you have to get a job. It's like, if you want to be an adult functioning in society, you have to get married. Not have to, but like, it's what you do. It's strange if you aren't. It's like a, something is people might not judge you, people probably shouldn't judge you depending on the circumstance, but it's like, that is the ordinary thing, is to get,
yes,
is to get married.
So I don't know if that gives you more peace or more anxiety, but the good news is that you can stop discerning. Unless you feel a desire to be a sister or a nun, in which case, keep up the discerning.
Keep it up. All right, next question.
I don't know if that helped at all. Carry on.
I think it was helpful. Okay. Right.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Patrick.
Yes.
I'm drowning.
Oh, yeah?
I have two children. Mm-hmm. The one child, he's pooping every day. Many, many times a day. The other child also is pooping every day. Pooping. Many, many times
maybe
a day.
Maybe once or twice. Last
it feels,
time,
it feels as if I'm drowning in not only the poop of the body, but also the but also the poop of the mind. I can't
poop of the soul.
Yeah. I can't seem to get my head around how to manage my home. I'm trying to work, trying to support my wife. It's very difficult for me.
I think you need to stop trying to hack this on your own and
really
stop trying to reinvent the wheel. There are people who this one of the most efficient things you can do is borrow someone else's knowledge.
Yes.
Purchase someone else's knowledge so that you don't have to go through the mistakes they've made. Connor Gallagher, who we've mentioned before, has 16 kids. So he's been around the block with this. He put together a course called The Well-Ordered Family. This is off of the book leads into the course. If you want to go through the course, and he also does one-on-one coaching, you can go through his system and his family management system, and you can skip some of the heartache and the hardships of like trying to figure out how to order your family on your own. If you go to wellorderedfamily.com, Ethan, and order the course, you can use the code CRUNCH25 for 25% off the course, which again is That's a great amazing. Discount code.
That's absolutely huge. I mean, 25% off for a course like this. It's a one-time investment that sets you up for success for you and your family for the rest of your life. And because you listen to us, you're getting 25% off. Go to wellorderedfamily.com and the code is
Crunch 25 for 25% off your course or coaching order.
Thank you to Well Ordered Family for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
I like the emojis that Ben put for this one. Okay. I like this emoji. It's the one that's got like dots. It's the dash 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 face. That's just kind of like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that emoji.
That's funny.
Ben puts little emojis so I can know what kind of the vibe is of the question. Okay. This question is anonymous. I've off and on talked to a guy long distance, one state over, for a few months, mainly voice memos. These people talk like we do. We mostly send voice memos back and forth.
Yes, that's the way.
I initiate most times, and his responses are good, but the time between responses is insane. For example, it's been 7.5 weeks.
Whoa.
Yeah. Anyway, he told
me. Are you delivering these voice messages via the Pony Express?
I think
that's crazy.
He told me he would be in town for a decent amount of October and plans to see me then. I don't know his exact dates or if the trip is still happening. I need to decide between reaching out next week, probably on the 3rd, if I don't hear from him, or not reaching out at all because he really does need to take some initiative if things are going to go anywhere. I've only told 3 people about this, all married, so they've been in successful long-term relationships. And I have 2 yes reach out votes and 1 no wait for him to talk from my mom. I feel like a dweeb because I dragged it on this long and I still have hope and interest. I'm also afraid that I will meet him and won't like him in person and he won't like me. I think 7.5 weeks.
7.5 weeks is crazy.
How many 7.5 week periods are there in a year?
7.
Yeah. Yeah. He waited a 1/7 of a year.
Yeah.
To get back to you.
7.5 weeks?
7.5 weeks is enough time to boost your grade from a B to an A in high in senior English.
7.5 weeks. That's like a half of the college football season. Is seven and a half weeks
is the gestation period of a gerbil.
I don't know why you're eating gerbils and it takes that long, but that's fine.
Not digestion period.
Gestation period. I think I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off for you. This guy doesn't like you. You obviously don't like him. I think it just should be over. I think this is a nothing burger. I think we should get rid of this. I don't like it. If he took 7.5 weeks to get back to you and you're not like, if you're not, I mean, you're still thinking about it 7.5 weeks later. So obviously it means something to you, but if you like him, call him, be like, hey, I like you. I mean, I'm trying to have a relationship with you. It seems like you're really busy. Is this a relationship that you want to have? Do you want to talk to me? Like, do you want to, is there anything here or not? If you like him, I would just do that. And if you don't want to do that, then it's probably fair to just kind of let it go.
Honey, if he doesn't have you pinned to the top of his messages on iMessage, he's just not that into you.
There are 2 people at the top of my iMessage.
Is it me and Emma? Yeah. Let's go. How many people you're going to be upset? Because I think I have more than just you guys. Yeah, it's I guess I can take this off. It was my St. Michael's Lent group chat, my family group chat.
Oh, you're one of those, huh?
I did St. Michael's Lent. But yeah, it's you, Phoebe, and my family group chat. It's 3.
Nice. Nice. I probably should add my work.
And the family chat the family group chat picture is this guy.
I can't see it. Is that SpongeBob? Oh, it's Nick.
No one look at my texts. Were any of those incriminating?
So, I mean, did we answer it? I feel like this is in the past, so she's probably already figured it out. I mean, this was a couple weeks ago.
I mean, he probably still hasn't responded, so now it's been a full 9 weeks. And 2 9-weeks makes a semester.
It's just so long. Like, I just can't fathom waiting for someone for that long and being like, oh, there's still a chance.
Yeah, you know what I mean? If I liked a girl, I would talk to her within 6 weeks.
If I liked a girl, I would respond instantly. if I could. And if I couldn't, then I would say, hey, sorry, I was busy doing
like
XYZ.
When I liked a girl and she texted me, legitimately, it would be the only thing I would think about.
It would be on site.
That's how Phoebe figured out that I liked her. I've told this story before.
Yeah.
Someone was like, man, Patrick never responds to his text. And she goes, he always texts me back.
Wait a minute. You're hanging out with the boys. You're watching the game. But you're cupcaking. You're cheesing at the phone. Why? Because you're texting her back. He's not cupcaking. There's no such thing as a 7.5 week cupcake. It doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. Sorry. He's just not that into you.
How old is your daughter?
Oh, my daughter? I thought you were talking to the question asker. My daughter is 8 weeks old. Yeah, my daughter is 8 weeks old.
Your daughter's a 7.5 week cupcake, I will say.
She's
just a beautiful little baby.
She's so cute.
She is cute. All right. Sorry, but it's over. Move it on. Move on.
My bad.
Yeah.
All right. From Thanos, is it a red flag if a girl has
if you kill half the universe and she doesn't text you back?
Is it a red flag if the girl is the personification of death and asks you to steal 6 stones and kill half the universe?
Instead of multiplying the resources, I killed half the people. Am I the asshole?
Yeah, I don't know if you know the original. In the original,
I know all about it.
The original, he does it because he wants to marry death.
Yeah, he wants to court death, and so he kills all these people. It kind of loses its luster when he just is doing it just because.
Yeah.
Especially since, like, you like in 1900, the population of the Earth was 4 billion, and so it doubled in 100 years. So it's like, okay, in 100 years, we'll be back to where we were, Thanos.
Yeah.
It's not very long sight. Also, you could die on a farm. You could have done that anyway. You didn't need to kill people to die on a farm.
Yeah, you could have just chilled on the farm regardless.
Yeah, just go to the... You clearly have resources available to you. Like,
I want to watch the sun. I want to watch the sun rise on a grateful universe. Thanos, the universe has multiple suns.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Just pick one, go there, and die. Anyway.
Who cares?
Anyway. Yeah.
Okay.
Move on. Patrick, do you know the biggest plight of the young man in America today?
They learned how to code and now all those big fancy companies are laying people off.
No, it's that Sabrina Carpenter's music is not for them.
She really is. She's sponsored by Samsung, which makes sense because she is the Samsung version of Taylor Swift. I've always said this.
I think men and women, anyone who studies coding, predominantly men, for better or for worse, anyone who studies coding and gets out into the job market and finds, you know what, this isn't all it's cracked up to be, they deserve a second shot. And thankfully,
they deserve better.
One of the sponsors of this show, Patmos Hosting Solutions, patmos.tech, they're looking for young, inspired Catholic men or women. The men thing was just to get the show started.
This is a joke.
This is just a joke. Men or women that have any type of software background that are looking to work for a company that is growing, that is moving fast, that helps people all over the globe take care of their data, host their websites, protect them from big tech and big censorship. And I think people who listen to The Crunch are a right fit. What do you think?
I think so. If you're tired of working for a tech company that has, you know, ping pong tables in the lobby and also donates money to Planned Parenthood, they're just on the side, you should try it. You should check out patmos.tech. Put your knowledge to good use here.
Thank you to Patmos Hosting Solutions for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Go to patmos.tech or reach out to me or Patrick on Discord because we know the guy that founded it. So if you want to send us your resume, we can forward it along for you.
Yeah, we'll slide it in there.
That's what we're here for. Okay, back to the episode.
From Thanos. Is it a red flag if a girl has a lot of male friends?
Yes.
Context. I've been dating a girl for 3.5 months. She has a lot of male friends.
Some
from high school, some from college, some from who knows where. To be fair, she has a lot of female friends, too. She's the type of person that's really friendly with everyone. Normally, I wouldn't care. But I've also noticed she's the type of person that can't go more than 30 minutes away from her phone. She's talking to other people. So to me, that seems like a red flag. I don't want to be quick to judge. Further context, he has not mentioned that the phone thing bothers him. I don't know what Oh, he hasn't told her that the phone thing bothers him. So Ben added context. They asked, have you told her that the phone thing bothers you?
Hey, girlfriend of 3.5 months. I know this is silly and I'm probably being really insecure, but something that I've noticed is that you have a lot of guy friends and you're always on your phone. It's probably just because of my woundedness and the things that are wrong with me, but I'm just like worried and nervous that you like other people and you don't like me. Can you please dispel that rumor? You know, or some variation of that. Just be honest. I feel really insecure about this. Can you please tell me all the reasons I shouldn't be insecure? Mm-hmm. And then if she doesn't have a good answer, then you've got your answer. Then you've got your answer, right? But if she does have a good answer of, I you can look through my phone, look through these texts. I'm not texting any guys, you know, like I'll maybe text someone who I'm in class with, but I don't text anybody outside of like our big friend group chat and like my girlfriends. It's like, oh, okay. Then she's really transparent and she like wanted you to feel comfortable. But if she's like protective and secretive and doesn't really want to open up, then it's like, oh, what's going on there? So I think you lead with vulnerability and just say, I feel really, this really bothers me. And I know it's irrational, but I would rather tell you that it bothers me and work on it together than hide it from you and like let the resentment fester. One, she'll probably appreciate it. And two, you're more likely to get a real response than if you come in saying, you're texting other guys. I know that you are. It's like, well, nobody's going to respond well to that.
Aha. Mask comes off. Yeah. It's a general immaturity. I mean, not an immaturity, but it's like, it's part of being young where people have opposite gender friends.
Yes.
Probably more than they should. And then when you get into a serious relationship, that goes away. And then those friendships kind of become less important. And then you have opposite gender friends again when you're in like couple friend groups, and then it's fine.
Yeah. You'll figure it out. I think it's just part of being young. I think both of you are immature.
Unlike
in different ways.
Who are old.
This is just immaturity, like bumping up against immaturity, you know,
which is what relationships are. Yeah.
Right. So I think you just have to go through this. It might hurt, but you got to try. What you could do is you could steal her phone and open up her eyes while she's sleeping after you drug her to get the face ID to open. And then you can go through her texts and you can find out what salacious signals she's been sending to her sycophants. Think about that.
Nice. I like the alliteration. That was good. Yeah. All right. Last question.
All right.
This one comes from Meepinator. Guys, slight issue. Discerning the priesthood, doing my thing, not worrying about dating or anything. But yesterday I met a girl.
Okay, it sounds like you're worrying about dating.
And she's the coolest person I've ever met. And I know I'm kind of second guessing myself. I don't know her super well, but we get along and share a lot of rather niche interests, like the Crunch podcast. I know I need to discern properly between the two, because if things continue to do well with her, I think I would be interested in dating her. But I also want to continue discerning the priesthood, because that's what's been on my heart for almost a year. Obviously, I know I should keep an open mind so as to not lock myself into one track or the other. Is that obvious? Is that true?
No.
I think you should lock yourself into one track or the other and see how it goes.
Is that the whole question?
Yeah, that's the whole question.
You're not discerning the priesthood unless you're in seminary.
Yes.
Say it with me. Up until now, you've just been like thinking about the idea that you may want to discern the priesthood at some point. Mm-hmm. But like, you don't really discern the priesthood until you apply and are accepted by the diocese and then go to seminary and then begin priestly formation. Like you're not really discerning marriage with this girl until you start dating her. So like right now you're discerning nothing. You're doing nothing. So just like make a choice. You can always break up with the girl and go to seminary. You can always leave seminary to date the girl. Like it's not a life or death decision here. So if you like her, take her on a date. And then in the course of your dating, if that pull on your heart is not going away, talk to a priest about it, pray about it, and say, okay, I tried this. It wasn't right. Same thing the other way. If you're like, okay, I I think dating would be the wrong decision. I really want to go to the seminary. Great, go to the seminary. But if that pull is still there, you talk to your priestly formator about it, you talk to your brother seminarians about it, and you decide, okay, this is not where I'm meant to be. I need to go over here, then leave, and then go date her. Whatever. Like, no one cares. It's a big deal to you, but it's actually not a big deal in real life. You know?
Go date her. Go ask her out.
Go date her. Go have a good time. Take her to an ice cream. Which I think would be good for you, both of you. I think she would enjoy the ice cream, and I think you would enjoy doing something that isn't... You got to get out of your head. You got to take action. You got to do something. The longer you stay in your head, the worse this is going to be for you.
If you've been discerning the priesthood for a year, that means one of two things. One, you have not applied to seminary, and you're being a big old baby. Two, you couldn't apply to seminary because you're in high school. Date the girl. It's okay. You're in high school.
Date the girl.
It's okay. You can't go to seminary anyway, so just date the girl.
It's good. It's good content. I think we gave some good advice today.
You want to do one more?
No. No, I want to go to bed now. It's 9 o'clock. No,
we gotta record an ad.
Oh, are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
Can you record it without me?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Or we could just record it tomorrow morning. But you might not be able to make it to the house.
Hold on. No, I can.
Okay. Let's connect.
You want to do a bonus podcast tomorrow morning? Because I did not tomorrow record one.
Okay. It was your job. So I'm not going to save your ass.
It is my job, but I will do it by myself if needed.
If I need to do... I still have the one with Emma on deck that I have all the questions for. So I can still do that. But I wasn't...
Oh, wait. You recorded one with Emma?
She's available to record one. We just haven't done it. Oh. But I was planning on doing that next week since you were doing a solo one this week.
Well, I can still do a solo one this week.
I think you should. Okay. That's it for the podcast, everybody. Goodbye. Thanks for coming.
Bye.